Good morning. I need to get a new one of these. They keeps falling. Everyone's awake. We're doing good. Holy Spirit is here. All right. Well, that's good. Glad to hear. Okay, so we have been walking through the first part of Acts, right? We've been talking about the beginning of the church. And in the past few weeks, we've watched how Jesus' followers waited, they obeyed, they prepared for what was to come. In Acts 1, they stayed and he told them to stay. He told them to wait for him to send the Spirit. They didn't rush ahead, right? They prayed, they sought scripture, and they stood united as they waited for the promise from the Father. And then in Acts 2, the promise arrived. Amen. The Spirit came at Pentecost. And Jermaine spoke on that a bit last week. And we're just going to kind of continue in that and continue, because why not continue talking about the Holy Spirit? Amen. So in Acts 2, that promise arrived. And in the beginning of Acts 2 is that moment when the Spirit of God was poured out to his believers. It's a moment that changed history, because in this way, heaven comes and touches earth through us. And the church, while it's being born in these moments, and this power is filling ordinary people who love and trust God and saying, go, fulfill my mission. It's such a powerful moment. Now, sometimes we hear about the Holy Spirit and we picture we have emotion and energy, and sometimes it even brings up confusion, like we're going to read in the later verses, 11 through 13. But what happens in Acts 2 is this calm, like I would say a calm chaos. Does that make sense? It's the power of God where its church is being born, and there was just this controlled, powerful presence of God doing exactly what Jesus said he would do, filling his people so they could witness to the world. And so before we step into verses 11 through 13, let's walk slowly back through that. Let's just recap and talk about what is happening at Pentecost, because that promise is fulfilled. Amen. Because when the day at Pentecost came, they gathered together. Okay, they were united, as Jermaine said last week. They were united in one place. And it was one of the great Jewish festivals, the Feast of Weeks, when God's people celebrated his provisions. And it was the Spirit of God being offered to his people. So we see this where Luke says they were all together. And it wasn't just about proximity, okay? It was about the unity. It was about what happened in Acts 1 while they came together and prayed, while they sought God, while they waited, and they united together. When we pray together, when we come together and we say, Lord, dwell within us, when we say, Lord, we want to obey you, we want to be obedient to you, and we all follow that same rhythm, when we have that rhythm, they walked out. You know, and the Holy Spirit came to them, and then they went out, and people were questioning, and they were perplexed, they were amazed, but they were united, because heaven broke in. Okay? Heaven broke in, so that blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting, and they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire, separated and came to rest on each of them, right? So notice that Luke doesn't specifically say that there was an actual wind, but he says it sounded like a mighty wind. And when Jermaine talked about that last week, right, where it's that divine presence, that God is there. So in both Hebrew and Greek, the same word means wind, breath, or spirit. And that one sound that happened is the moment that God has entered the room. Okay? And those tongues of fire, the fire in Scripture, When we think about Moses in the burning bush, or Isaiah seeing the coal that purified his lips, the fire resting on each disciple. Okay, can we picture that? Each disciple sitting there and the fire resting on them. It was this way of saying, my presence no longer dwells in the temple. It dwells in you. And that's this moment that is just the power we see through this. Because it didn't mean that they had to go somewhere. God's presence was coming to them and dwelling within them. And they didn't summon that fire. They didn't say, let's pray on it, let's come to it. They were obediently praying and waiting for that to come. But the Spirit doesn't come out of performance. It came out of God's promise. And it filled them with a purpose. Because they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And then they started to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them to. It didn't come to them with just a feeling. It came to give them a message. And that message was to be shared. It didn't fill them to perform. It filled them to proclaim the wonders of God. Amen? And they spoke in these. It wasn't the heavenly sounds that we think about when we say, you know, when we hear people speak in tongues. It was real languages that were clarified. Clearly through verses 8 through 11, when the crowd says, we heard them speaking in our own language. The Spirit enabled them to speak so that everyone present, because there is the festival, everyone that was present to hear the gospel clearly in their own language. And that's not confusion. That is divine clarity from God. So that message that they had, that the disciples were learning about day in and day out, and now as apostles, they are going to share that. And it is going to be spoken, and it is going to every nation, because at this festival, right time, right place, right? The festival, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And Luke lists them, okay? And then it's almost as if Luke is giving us this roadmap of God's mission to go out, where the Spirit didn't come in a quiet corner. The Spirit came in the middle of nations, in the middle of all of this. And you know, when Jermaine spoke of it last week, when at the Tower of Babel, that there was the unity of language was broken. And God begins to redeem that now at Pentecost. But this time it's through unity, not built on that human pride that he was talking about, but it's built on the divine grace of God. And now we get to see, what does this mean? What does all this mean when the Spirit indwells a believer, when the Spirit comes to us, when we talk, when we say, how do we act? How do we react in this moment? And that's where we pick up today in verses 11 through 13. Because what happens next shows us what all of it meant. It shows us what the Spirit is doing and how people respond when heaven broke in. Okay, so in verse 11, it says, we hear them declaring the wonders of our own tongues. It was their own languages. This is the first sermons from the beginning of the church. Think about that. They are proclaiming the glory of God. They are preaching. They are sharing Christ. And it was the first sermons that people are hearing outside of the smaller groups. That's amazing. Like, to me, when I read that, I just think about how amazing it is that people are now moving outward. And it wasn't from a pulpit, okay? It was from a Spirit-filled crowd of believers that shared. And they weren't showing off gifts, they weren't doing anything, but they were showing off God's glory because they were sharing the wonders of God, his creation, his redemption, his resurrection power. Through Jesus Christ, they were explaining, they were saying, you listen to this. This is who Jesus was. Not long ago, just a few months before that, Jesus was crucified. People had questions. People were wondering. And they got to speak into that. They were like, this is who he was. This is who he is now. This is who he's always been. This is who he will always be. And you might not have seen it a couple months ago, but see it now. And then we get to say that, share this same message. We might not have seen it a couple thousand years ago, obviously, but that same spirit dwells within believers now to share and proclaim the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Amen? We get to be part of this story. They were sharing his creation. And it wasn't this moment of emotional, excess, just going around, but a moment of gospel explosion. Does that make sense? It's just, boom, went out, started proclaiming the gospel message to everyone, to all nations. And he still does this today. Every time we share our testimony, every time you're praying for someone, every time you love in the name of Jesus, every time you are speaking to someone about Jesus, the Spirit is declaring and showing the world around us the wonders of God. Everything that we do through the Holy Spirit is to show the wonders and glory of God. It's to point people back to him. Plain and simple, we want to lead people to Christ. We want to lead people to our Father. Right? Do we notice that when Jesus walked, he didn't just stop. He's like, follow me. Come watch this. And in the, kind of the same way, it's our job to go out and say, follow me and let me show you who this is. Let me share with you my testimony. Let me share with you how it impacts my life. We got to hear that amazingly through Austin last week. What did God do in his life? How did he use you? We all have that. Some of us might sit here and say, you know what? My story is just not as fun or as exciting, or it's still a story. It is sharing the wonders of God. Some of us have rough lives. Some of us have past. Some of us has things. But do you know what? And this is from my own experience, but I would say that a good majority of us who have a little sprinkled past, we'll do it in the church wording, right? That a lot of us are looking at those who say, oh, I grew up in the church. I was just a preacher's kid. I was there every Sunday. I was in, and we're like, really? I wish that was me. I wish that I had that. I wish that I grew up in that. So when we think like, oh, it's just our story is not as exciting as that. No, your story is your story for a reason. God gave you your life to him for a reason. Share it. Share your testimony. Share what God is doing in your life. Because that is how we glorify God. That is how we share who he is to everyone else. So every time we share this, every time we explain and glorify God, the wonders of God to others, they did it at Pentecost. They shared who Jesus Christ was. They heard it in their native languages. And they were amazed and perplexed because of it. Amazed, verse 12, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? That question, what does this mean, is a right response to a move of the Spirit. It means that hearts were awakened, minds were opened, people were confronted with the reality of God in their life. And that's what Spirit-filled ministry should do. It should cause people to ask, what does this mean? Because when we ask, what does this mean, we're intrigued. We're listening in. I've never known anybody, sorry, I'm going to get my water really quick. I've never known anybody to go, what does this mean? And then walk the other way and go, I'm just going to do my own thing. No, when they say that, that's them stepping in. That's them stepping into it and saying, what does this mean? I'm listening. I hear. You know, and they didn't say, what are these people doing? They said, what does this mean? Because the Spirit isn't drawing attention to us. It draws attention to God. And that's why, when we look at verse 13, that some, however, made fun of them or mocked them. I'm reading from the ESV. Okay, but some, however, made fun of them. Your version, it might say, mocked them. They have had too much wine, too much to drink. So every time God moves, there will be mockers. Right? There will always be those who are like, nope, crazy people. They're just drunk. Nobody can understand them. All these things happen. Dying. So, sorry, blinking at me. So God has entered the room, and we have this whole process. But there's a few examples that I want to show and talk to you guys about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and why it means so much for the start of the church. Because God is going from dwelling among his people in the temple, to within his people, indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And there's a few examples we can talk about, and I'm going to say for the first one, from temple to heart. Okay, so the old covenant, God's promised presence was concentrated in one place. It was the temple. Okay, and we can see that in Leviticus, but the new covenant is in Acts 2 that we're seeing here is that God's presence is now resting within every believer. And then from the pillar of fire, and Jermaine was speaking about the fire last week, and then flames on each of them, the Old Testament, God's presence was often shown as fire. Okay? And when we see the Mount Sinai in Exodus 19, but we can also go back to Exodus 13, God guided the Israelites by night by fire. Okay? New Testament, at Pentecost, this same symbol appears in the upper room, which is the presence of God resting on each of them. So what once was a pillar for an entire nation is now flames for every believing heart. So under the old system, people came to the temple to experience God and his presence. But at Pentecost, believers carry that presence out into the world. And this is my favorite. This is my favorite example that we can look back to when God is speaking through the prophet Jeremiah. Okay? Does anyone know the story? Okay, we're going to hear a little bit of it. When he was appointed before God, before he was born, God is giving Jeremiah a word of hope. That even through a broken Israel and what was going on and all the brokenness they had through the old covenant, that God will one day establish a new covenant. And we see that shared in Jeremiah 31:33. It says, for this covenant, for this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord, I will put the law within them. And I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God. And they shall be my people. Is that, you guys see the beauty in what is taking place? And how exciting that is, that when this fire came down, it wasn't just a display of power. It was this declaration of holiness through God. That same Spirit that filled the upper room, that same Spirit fills our hearts for those who believe with the presence and purity of God. And in this moment at Pentecost, what Jeremiah prophesied came true. We get to see that, that God wrote his law not, not on tablets anymore, but on the hearts of his people. And this is sanctification. This is where grace starts. Okay? In the Wesleyan Church, we see this process of accepting Christ and the Spirit dwelling within us. And we know that is initial sanctification. Okay, that moment that you say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Please come to me. I ask for forgiveness. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Boom, initial sanctification. Okay? And then through that process, from the day-to-day life, as we walk with the Spirit, and the Spirit shapes us, leads us, this is progressive sanctification. Okay? And then this is us growing in the holiness of God. It is not ourselves, right? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. It is not us. It is the Holy Spirit within us, living with us, guiding us, speaking to us, saying, hey, don't do that. Not the best thing. Share the wonders and glory of God, because the moment you become a Christian, people look to you. And what is the example that you're sharing? What is the example that you're saying to others that a Christian is? Oh, you're a believer of God? You believe in Jesus Christ and you act like that, you do that, you say those things? That is not what the Holy Spirit is doing through you. The Holy Spirit is changing you little by little, just chipping away. And this progression happens, which is growing in holiness, so that when the Spirit fills us and we continue to walk with him through that obedience, prayer, and scripturally guided decisions that we talked about that they were doing in the upper room in Acts 1, when we do those same things, when we live that life, it changes the way we speak, the way we think, the way we feel, the way we act, and fills us with the love of God so that others can see. And when sin loses its grip on us, because God has now become our new heartbeat and his law is written on our hearts, that is when we get to this point where, as in the Wesleyan Church, we call it entire sanctification, where that sin no longer has the grip on you. Does that mean that you won't sin? No. Does that mean that we're not still sinners? No. It just means that we are now turning it to God. We have so much faith in God that we are like, I'm sorry, forgive me, lead me, because I can't lead myself. And that is what fills us with that purpose. Because when they spoke real languages, they spoke to share that gospel. But to share that gospel message, they needed to have the Spirit to guide them, to lead them, to carry them, to declare the wonders of God. Amen? They were declaring in their own tongues. They were declaring who God is, and the Spirit took these ordinary people. But like I said, some of them were amazed and perplexed. Amazed and perplexed, they asked each one another, what does this mean? And that's the response. The church, when we have Spirit-filled ministry, the church should make people hungry for truth, not distracted by spectacle. Remember, we talked about those, like we've talked in the past about those who would stand on the corner and they would just do all these things, and it was a spectacle to them. It wasn't leading them to God, it was leading them to them. It was leading them to look at me, look at what I can do, look at what God is doing. But when they walked away from that, they walked away going, that guy did some pretty cool things. But it didn't lead them to God. But when people hear this and they go, what does this mean? They're leaning in And often, as much as we don't like it, sometimes others turn away and they lean back. But those who were asking, what does this mean, weren't rejecting the law. They were being drawn in by something deeper. That's what we call prevenient grace. Okay? That grace is what enables us to be led to God. It says in John 6, verse 44, when Jesus was speaking, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. Okay? So from the moment you were born, regardless if you believe or don't believe, God has put prevenient grace, okay, casts a net. And are you being pulled in? Are you being guided? Are you being, you know, maybe you're put in situations where someone is saying, huh, I have a question now. Somebody's been telling me the same thing over and over for years and years and years. Or someone's been inviting me to church for years and years and years. And I've been living my life and I've been doing this and going on. And slowly, you're just like, eh, a little more. And you're guided. So God is already at work in that moment. At Pentecost, he was already at work in that moment, stirring the hearts of people even before Peter stands up and addresses the crowd, which is what we'll talk about next week. Before that time, God is already at work. Their curiosity, their desire to understand, that grace in motion was drawing them closer to God to make them reach a point in their life where they were saying, what does this mean? So even in a crowd, you can see that both sides of people respond to God's Spirit. Some mocked. Some marveled. Some resisted. Some reached closer. And both remind us that when the Spirit moves, every heart is invited, but not every heart accepts that invitation. So church, this passage is showing us that the power of God is moving through his own people. The Spirit fills believers so that the world can hear the truth and gospel message of Jesus Christ to declare the wonders of God, to lead people to God. That is what we're doing. That's what the Spirit is doing, leading them to the Savior, to Lord. And the Spirit empowers churches, the Spirit empowered churches across boundaries, cultural, generational, racial, and spiritual. And at Pentecost, we got to see that, where the gift is the Spirit himself. The gift is the Spirit, and his work always glorifies God. And the Spirit calls us to speak. There's a bug right here. Spirit calls us to speak. Not today, Satan. All right, the Spirit of God speaks clearly about the wonders of God so that our neighbors, our co-workers, our families, those in our life would also come to the point to say, what does this mean? So that the tugging on their heart, which is God drawing them closer, allows them to respond in acceptance and obedience with him. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, was the moment the church went from prayer and obedience to public ministry. We can see that through this example that the church begins the right way in Acts 1. They began through obedience, through prayer, and through Scripture. That's where they started. That was their foundation. And because of that foundation, the Holy Spirit was given to glorify and share the message of Jesus Christ to all ends of the earth. And that's what we are called to continue to do today until the day he returns. And now when we think about what is happening, what is our next step, what does this mean? We get to say, Lord, use me. Use me for your glory. Use me for your wonders, for your words. Help me guide somebody to you. Because that moment it got dispersed. And people can accept Christ. People can lean in and say, this sounds interesting. What is it going? What's going on? What does this mean? Or people can move away and say, people are just nuts. People had too much to drink. I'm going to walk the other direction. Y'all are crazy. Sound familiar? Right? So we use the Holy Spirit to glorify God and share the wonders of God. And let's also pray for those who are out there going, y'all are just crazy. Y'all are just drunk. Y'all just don't know what you're saying. And pray that God continues to draw them closer to Him by whatever means, by His will. And that's where we're going to pause this week. That we have a city full of voices. We have, with some of them asking the question, what does this mean? And when we speak of the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost, we see people speaking known languages to spread the gospel to all nations. We see the gift of the Holy Spirit being poured out and indwelled into believers. And then next week, when we see Peter stand up, we get to hear Peter do what he was taught. Go to Scripture. He gets to go back and say, this is what this means. This is what's going on. He's going to take us back next week, about 800 years. At least that's what told me online. In a few different ways. I tried to look it up as much as I can, but we all know that those timings a little bit different depending on where you look. But quite some time to the prophet Joel to show what is happening wasn't just chaos. It wasn't chaos. It wasn't this drunkenness. It wasn't the mishap. But it was a covenant promise that was given by God. The promise that God's Spirit would be poured on all people. And maybe you're here today. Maybe you are feeling this stirring. Maybe you've never understood what it means. Maybe you've walked through life and you're like, I don't understand why I'm here. I don't understand why I keep saying yes to go to church. I don't understand why I keep saying yes to go to this Bible study or to, you know, I don't even believe in prayer. But for some reason, when these people keep asking me, what can I pray for? I tell them. Or I let them pray for me, and all these things are happening. If that's you today and you felt something stirring as you've heard the word of God, but you maybe can't put words to it, you just can't figure it out, and you're telling yourself, what does this mean? It means that God is calling you. It means that God is drawing you closer to Him. It means that God is saying, hey, believe in me. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Believe in Christ and have the gift of the Holy Spirit indwelled in you. Because that's what I love about the Holy Spirit. I'm just a kid. Not really anymore. Just a middle-aged dude that didn't know he was going to be a preacher. Didn't know what he wanted. The longest time I thought I was going to be a firefighter, even to the point where I pretty much finished all my school. And then God took me away from that. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to be a mechanic. Not a mechanic. And God is using me in this. And there's times, being honest with you, there's times I sit back in that office or at my house or on my front porch with my wife, and I'm just like, I don't even know how I'm going to explain this week. I have no idea what's going on. And then I spend all week researching, and I'm like, I know in my mind how this is being said. But as Jermaine knows, and anyone else who's preached up here, it's a lot different when you have to explain it. But I feel blessed to be that because it requires me to learn more. So I look at this and I say, okay, I'm just an average guy, but God has asked me to do this, so that's what I'm going to do, be be obedient, but it also allows me to learn more. But that drawing in, if I would have never taken the moments in my life to go to that youth group or to end up at church on a Sunday with friends, and little by little, just to be like, what does this mean? To then be moved out of state to a completely different location without understanding why. I mean, for everyone, we've all been in high school. Some, it's been a little bit longer than others. I understand. Okay? Some of us went to school in one building. I don't know. Who knows? But we can all remember back. I was a junior, and I felt a tugging on my heart to leave school within 2 weeks. Dropped out of my school. I didn't stay out of school. I moved. Went to a new school, new state, new location. My school had bars and walls, and you couldn't leave at lunch, okay, in Vegas, to going to a school that they go out to lunch. Jack in the Box, and they actually came back. Weirdest thing I thought. I was like, y'all leave and come back? It's weird. No metal detectors going to a football game. I was like, you guys are living in the Twilight Zone out here in Orange County. But that pulling, I didn't know it then. I just felt I needed to get out of that life. And I wanted to change my life. And I was listening to something that I didn't really understand. But that led me to the youth group that I got invited to, that I sat in the back of the room at a Worship X night and gave my life to the Lord. God led me there, even though I didn't know. So if God is pulling on your heart this morning, if there you feel that tug, I want to encourage you to trust in the Lord. There's a lot of questions I still have. And I joke around sometimes. I'm like, I'm so thankful that we get to spend time with God for eternity, because that's about as long as it's going to take to answer all my questions. But you do not need to have all the answers to know and trust and accept your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because the Spirit, when you believe in Him, will indwell in you, and He will give you the courage. He will share through you. And it's just at that point, us trusting the Holy Spirit, trusting in God to guide us. So if you feel that pulling, this morning could be your moment. And I encourage you, while we pray this morning, to take that moment. And if you're here this morning and you've been around for a while, and you've been in this knowing Jesus, been in this relationship for a minute, and you believe that the Holy Spirit fills you today the way that He filled the upper room and those at Pentecost, I want you to ask yourself, what would people hear from my life? Even if you said nothing, what would people hear from your life? Would they hear frustration, fear, self-doubt, anger? Or would they hear and see the wonders of God that you can't keep to yourself because you serve an amazing God? We serve an amazing God that is not meant to be put on a shelf or put as a statue and say, I've accepted you, I got you, I'm going to walk by you every morning and say thank you. No. He is meant to be shared to the world. He is meant to be shared to everyone. Because when the Spirit speaks through us, it's going to sound like love. It's going to sound like truth. And it is going to sound like Jesus Christ. Amen? When we share Christ, when we share through the Holy Spirit, it's going to look like Christ. If people walk away like those who stood on the corners and said that they knew God and they were performing a show, if people walk away impressed by the person instead of transformed by the Spirit, then you are not pointing them to a Savior. You're pointing them towards something else. Because the Spirit does not be, it's not going to be confusion. When we speak through the Spirit, when we allow the Spirit to be using us, when we are guided by the Spirit, what we say is going to lead people to Him. What we feel, what we say and talk and how we act is going to lead people to Him. So let's ask ourselves, because Peter's going to stand next week and we're going to hear from Peter, because you might be in this room, and I want to ask you before we leave, are you, what does this mean? Or are you, they're just drunk? Where's the heart pulling you? And I'm going to pray for people that don't feel that tugging, but if you feel that tugging, I want to pray for you now. I want to pray for us and pray that the Lord would continue to use us, pour out His Holy Spirit on all believers to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Because at Pentecost, Spirit came and has moved out ever since. And we are going to jump on that bandwagon and move with it. We need to get out of the way because it's going to move. All right? Let's pray.